Well, hello and welcome to this week's A Photographic Life. The American science fiction author and astrophysicist and professor emeritus at the Department of Physics and Astronomy at the University of California, Gregory Benford, stated that maybe education is wasted on the young. He also said if you're losing in a game, change the game. And to shine is better than to reflect. Well, I've been thinking a lot about that idea of education recently because I've been interviewing students for the new MA at Oxford Brookes University that I've mentioned on the podcast before. What's rather exciting is how many of you listening have engaged with the idea and have also applied to come on the course. Well, those discussions have been very informative for me, very interesting, and I've been learning from them. Learning the reasons why people want to get involved in some type of formal education, perhaps when they've already been working as a photographer for a long time, or been out of education for a considerable amount of time also. I did have a discussion with somebody recently about the MA, and they said, yeah, well, at the moment, I've got all the skills I need, and therefore I don't need to learn any more. Well, of course, that's kind of misunderstanding the idea behind learning. It's not just about learning technical skills, how to put a light somewhere, how to use a camera, how to use Photoshop. I think really the reason behind engaging with that kind of additional education outside of the schooling we all have to do is actually to learn more about ourselves. And in learning about ourselves, we can learn about the medium and we can bring those two things together, which I think gives us much more fulfillment in the work we're creating and much more creativity. I did recently see another institution promoting its MA in photography on social media. And there were a whole load of comments which were very negative about the idea of learning at MA level. Comments such as, you can learn more by being an assistant. That these kinds of qualifications only exist to give those who can't make their living as a photographer a job, etc., etc. Well, unfortunately, the role of the assistant isn't as prevalent as it used to be. And you try being an assistant when you're in your 40s or 30s or 50s or actually anything older than your late teens or early 20s. The truth of the matter is you can learn a lot as an assistant working with a good photographer. But you can also just get used for low money. It's hard to survive. Therefore, how much better it would be rather than having to go through that to get a good education which allows you to start working as soon as you leave education. And that is possible, believe me. One of the other things that's been mentioned to me, is about falling out of love with photography, running out of creative juices. Well, I hope that by studying further education, higher education, that you can kind of reignite that. If this is interesting to you, then do please get in touch. Find out about what we're doing at Oxford Brookes. All you need to go to www.brookes.ac.uk and tap the word professional photography into the search bar. This may sound like an advertisement for something I'm doing, and I suppose in a way it is. But actually, it's far more an advertisement for the idea of continued learning through life, whether that be self-initiated or perhaps slightly more formal. Whilst we're on the subject of learning and being open-minded, I got a great email in the last week from one of the listeners, from one of you. And it was a response to the conversation that Bill Shapiro and I had a couple of weeks ago. about the death of editorial photography. By the way, I have to say, it seems to have been one of the most popular episodes we've put out, and part two will be going live in the first week of April. But anyway, back to the email. And this email came from Jan Kuziak. He said this: "Hi Grant, really enjoyed your recent podcast with Bill on the death of editorial photography. Like both of you, I also grew up with magazines and am saddened by their demise. However, maybe there's a different way of looking at things. The traditional magazine consists of three components: content, paper, and physical publication distribution. Content is what we want to preserve and promote. Physical publication distribution has been replaced by the internet, which leaves paper. To a certain extent, paper has been replaced by the screen. But where paper is a consumable, is low cost, and is easy to pass on, a screen is not. But what if screens were so commonplace that we didn't need to own one, because they were dirt cheap and everywhere? The American computer scientist Alan Kay, inventor of the Dynabook, forerunner of the tablet computer, described a scenario where screens were as common as A4 pads of paper. He gave an example where students entered a classroom and picked up a screen from a stack of them by the door. Each student could access all their data and apps by logging onto the internet via the screen. When the class was over, the student left the screen at the door. No need to take it with them, as there were screens wherever they went, be it another classroom, the cafeteria, or on the train going home. Sorry to be so long-winded, but to me, the magazine is a great concept. It has curated content, rather than the rabbit hole of online content. Is in a format that's easy to digest, A4 or similar, rather than phone screen size, and it gives photos enough screen real estate to properly convey what they're about. We just need to work on the paper side of things. Keep up the good work. The weekly podcasts are always a welcome treat. Jan." Well, thanks very much for that, Jan. Now I'm going to pass it over to you. What do you all think? This week, I'm pleased to welcome to the podcast Xavi Beau, who was born in Barcelona in 1979. He became interested in natural sciences at a young age during walks with his grandfather in the wetlands of the Llobregat Delta, and graduated in geology from the University of Barcelona before completing his studies in photography. Beau dedicated 15 years to advertising and fashion photography, after which he focused on his true passion of nature. His project, Ornithographies, started in 2015, and after being showcased in numerous exhibitions around the world and widely featured in numerous international publications, it was published in a book form by Lynx Edition. Today, Beau has multiple projects in progress that explore creative formats and outcomes, all attempting to raise environmental awareness.
Hi, this is Xavi Beau. For me, photography is a tool with which I have relied to discover the world. On the one hand, on a personal level, documenting my travels or the life of my partner and children. And on the other hand, on a creative level, it has allowed me to explore new ways of seeing the world. Especially with my ornithographies project, through changing the perception of time, I have discovered the beauty of the forms that arise from the flight of birds. I choose photography as a medium for my artistic project because it's a medium that forces you to be in the field and others to accept and manage the randomness that nature gives you. The vast majority of my photographs would not have been able to plan in advance. If you overcome the frustration of not getting what you are looking for and allow you yourself to be embraced by the lack of control of the environment, you can achieve unimaginable results. Thanks to this project, in recent years, I have been more in contact with nature than ever, with an illusion that I did not have since I was a child. Since I have been allowed me to rediscover nature, synchronize my calendar with it, and above all, be very attentive to what surrounds me. This feeling This feeling of discovery, of exploration, this illusion is precisely what I try to spread with my work.
Thank you very much, Xavi, for your contribution this week. You may or may not be aware of his work, but of course, as I say every week, check them out. His work's very interesting, and I think it really does bring an academic, intellectual logic through into an aesthetic that a lot of you may well find very appealing. Anyway, just my opinion. I'll leave it to you to see what you think. I started off this episode this week talking about creativity, finding creativity, and the idea that perhaps that kind of mentorship that can come from formal education when you're a little bit older can be useful. Well, I've been reading a really good book at the moment. I've got it next to me here on my desk, and it's called The Creative Act, A Way of Being. And it's by Rick Rubin, who, of course, was the American record executive, record producer, and co-founder of Def Jam Records. Well, the description of the book, I don't think really does it justice, but it describes it as being a meditative manifesto about what it really means to be an artist. It contends that artists don't have a monopoly on creativity. Everyone is inherently creative. To access that creativity, you just need to commit to a creative practice. Where Rubin keeps using the word artist throughout the book, I think I would replace it with the word human. But that's just me, as you know. I have a bit of a hang-up with the word artist. But there's a number of chapters that go through the book. It's a really easy read, and I really do recommend it. There's a few words at the beginning that I think are particularly relevant to us photographers. He says this: the ability to look deeply is the root of creativity. To see past the ordinary and mundane and get to what might otherwise be invisible. Now, to me, that absolutely sums up what we're trying to do as photographers. And it kind of ties in with what I was saying at the beginning there around the idea that through studying photography, we don't really study the medium in itself, in its technical qualities. What we're really doing is studying ourselves and finding out more about ourselves. And that led me to something which I also always return to. That's a great Jack Kerouac's introduction to Robert Frank's The Americans. Now, if you don't own a copy of The Americans, shame on you. I think you need to. I think everybody needs to obtain a copy if you don't have one. Try and get one as cheap as you can, of course. I know a lot of them are very expensive. But anyway, there's a fantastic piece of text that's at the beginning of that book. And it says this: Robert Frank, Swiss, unobtrusive, nice, with that little camera that he raises and snaps with one hand. He sucked a sad poem right out of America onto film, taking rank among the tragic poets of the world. To Robert Frank, I now give this message: you got eyes. And I say, that lonely elevator girl looking up, sighing in an elevator full of blurred demons. What's her name and address? For me, Rubin and Kerouac and Frank, they're really what photography is about. There's been a lot of talk about Photoshop recently on the news. Strange, but true. Certainly in the UK, and I'm sure it's been going global as well. The Princess of Wales, an amateur photographer as she describes herself, I think the palace describes her as a keen photographer, and the Royal Photographic Society describes her as the patron of photography. But anyway, I digress. There's been a lot of talk about the fact that she photoshopped her pictures and she didn't do it very well. Well, I think that's one thing that we could discuss. But I don't think it's actually very relevant. I'm not the kind of conspiracy kind of a guy. I'm really not sure why she's doing it and why she just doesn't pass it on to somebody who does know what they're doing. But there again, that's another tangential discussion. What I want to deal with at this point is the fact that photography is front and centre at the moment on believability. And that's something a lot of photographers have been talking about over the last couple of months with their concerns around AI in particular. Now, as regular listeners will know, I've been drawing a parallel between Photoshop believability and AI believability in a number of the discussions that we've had on the podcast and also in some of my writing. For me, I see it as an evolution within photography that won't necessarily cause us a big problem. I might be right. I might be wrong, but what I was very interested to see around these Princess of Wales pictures was the fact that after they had been released, three photo syndication agencies withdrew them because they recognised the fact that they had been manipulated and therefore should not be syndicated as news images. Since then, Getty Images have come out and similarly identified poor Photoshop practice in an image that the Princess of Wales took of a lot of the royal children alongside the Queen before she died. Therefore, they've put a note on the picture actually saying, well, this has been manipulated. This isn't actually what was seen. Well, this draws into debate, discussion, so many things. I think it's a good thing. The people that we are relying upon to check have been doing so. And when they've seen that the images have been manipulated, they've withdrawn them from sale. Now, maybe the Princess of Wales has learnt her lesson. Stay away from the Photoshop. It can be a very, very evil mistress. But the agencies have done their job. Let's just hope they keep doing it, shall we? You may or may not have realised, listened, identified that this week's episode is a bit of a landmark because I'm not in the shed. I've had to move out of the shed as part of our move to a new house, and me moving into a new studio workspace, which actually is a garage, so I'm trying to keep it as real as I can. But in the interim, I'm actually in an office space creating this particular podcast. Well, this has only been done once before. I think about episode 4, maybe episode 5. I can't really remember. I was in Toronto in a hotel room recording the episode. Every other episode since then has been in the shed, a literal shed, a wooden shed where I could put my arms out and touch all four walls. But we're moving on up and we're moving on out. So for the next few weeks, I'm going to be on the road creating the podcast before we find our new home, I should say, and settle in. It's going to be a bit busy for me over the next few weeks. I've got a book launch. As I said, I've got a house move and I've got a whole load of other stuff going on. But, you know, I'm going to take care and I hope you do too.